the Health Habits Coach podcast. This is the Monday Habit with your host, Claire George. So let's begin. So hi, and welcome to the latest Monday Habit number 17. Today is all about the habits for women who are over 40 in their 40s, 50s and 60s, basically, is who today's episode is for. It's all about the obstacles that they experience in getting into fitness, exercise, activity, and getting those habits going in their day-to-day lives. And it's such a massive, important part of our health and happiness. And that's why I have really put a lot of effort into this research that I've been doing with women over 40. Because what I've experienced, having coached more than 2,000 people in the last 2 years on behavior change, is that being more active, getting fit, or staying fit and doing exercise for many, many women in midlife is just a non-starter. And there's a number of different core obstacles, and that's what today's episode is going to be all about. So it's energized. I'm here for you. We are going to crack the nut together. You and me, the Health Habits Coach, I'm going to help you overcome those obstacles. So what I want to do, though, before I just get into the habits, is I just want to mention that I'm in the midst of a Move Over Menopause, MOM is the acronym. So my MOM program is about to be launched in April, and I'm getting up to all sorts of things. Coach Claire is doing some of her own challenge of getting fit this spring. It's time to wake up, sleepy bear. And I've got a whole bunch of different things going on in this space. So do follow me, do get onto Instagram, or if you prefer Facebook, or if you prefer LinkedIn, I'm on all three platforms, and do follow me, because I am going to be bringing so many different bits of nuggets of wonderful advice around being a woman in midlife in the coming couple of weeks. And I do want to make sure that you're aware that I'm going to be running some masterclasses, and to encourage you all, to give you a little bit of insight, I've created this amazing midlife guide for women in midlife, and it's the revival guide through menopause. And it's basically a holistic guide across from core health habits all the way through to sort of the mindset and practices, and how to rejuvenate and rest, how to reinvent yourself and develop your purpose, your passion for your act two, and what lies ahead. So I do really encourage you all to get yourself a copy, because it's brilliant, and you can find it and sign up for it. It's on my website, www.thehealthhabitscoach.com/coaching. So do check that out, get that revival guide, and come see me wherever you're hanging out. Come and find me. I've got some good stuff coming your way in the next few weeks. Okay, but let's get into today's episode and, you know, these five obstacles to exercise and what kinds of habits you can do if you are somebody that just wants to get fitter, but just hasn't quite managed to cross that bridge and get into the habits of becoming fitter. And so obstacle number one in my groups and my communities, it's talked about all the time. It's time. Yeah, I just can't get enough. I haven't got enough time. And it's like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. You know, I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. I'm flipping late again, right? So many of us know this feeling. And then if the health habits coach comes along and says, I've got a great idea for you. You say, you know, you're struggling with this situation or that with your health, increase your exercise. And you're like, I haven't got time. Okay, so these habits are really designed for you if you find that that really speaks to you as a big obstacle for why you've not made exercise and activity a bigger part of your day-to-day. So the first one is about making a plan and setting a date. That's right. Remember, if it ain't scheduled, it ain't real. And you could be, you know, already meeting somebody quite regularly, but you're meeting them in a cafe. And what I'm going to suggest based on my coaching workshop ladies' inputs is that instead of meeting in a cafe or meeting at someone's house in their kitchen, go for a walk and talk. Go for a, you know, a run and, you know, running mates. It doesn't really matter too much. It's just using something you're already going to be doing with your time and getting some activity popped in there. Next habit for helping you if time is an obstacle is double bubble. That's right. You haven't got time to do one thing at a time. You've got to, well, not multitask exactly, but kind of. It's like two bingos at the same time. And I'm talking about, for example, the best way of doing this is your housework. We all do it. We hate it, but we do it. And if you reduce the time you give yourself to do a set task, whether it's washing up, laundry, changing beds, vacuuming, dusting, cleaning windows, it doesn't matter. If you reduce the amount of time you give yourself, you will make that more intense, the action and the activity, and it will turn into exercise very quickly, I might add. You will be playing strip when you're doing your vacuuming. I know, because I tested this theory out and I got my heart rate on my tracker up to the 130s just doing vacuuming, because I gave myself a limited amount of time to complete my downstairs. Woo! So I got my vacuuming done, got my exercise done, and faster than if I hadn't have been doing it. Bingo. What a little habit hack that is. Another habit for saving time, take the hard road. Okay. So when we're going through our day, we can be feeling a bit tired, and we'll typically, very often, many of us will take the easy road. We'll look for the shortcuts. We'll look for the easier way of getting through a said, you know, part of our day. Whether that's the supermarket and using a trolley rather than, maybe you can carry your groceries in the basket, or maybe you can park your car further from the supermarket so you walk it. Or that goes for any car parking to any location. Just park your car further away, get your steps in that way. You could also, though, you know, just look for extra effort. So we're talking about, you know, sort of maybe you could use a bike if it's only a very short trip, use a bike rather than the car. In urban traffic areas, a bike can be faster than a car. So, but then you're getting that exercise at the same time. Helping others along your way through your day, reaching up to the top aisle to help that short little old lady in the supermarket reach the top cans. Or maybe you notice a neighbor struggling with their bins a bit and pulling their bins out. You're like, I got it. And it's like 30 seconds, a minute. You help, you become more active, and you haven't really taken any time out of your day. So really look for ways to, you know, change up your normal and seize opportunities to become more active without needing to carve out specific time to go to a gym or anything like that. Obstacle number two, the I'm no good at sport. It's an identity narrative. And many people who do this don't even realize that they basically are saying no, the hands up mentally, before they've even thought or considered whatever option around becoming more active as being suggested. So really, first off is becoming aware of it. And if you don't think you're sporty, or if you think you don't like it, or you think it's boring, whatever it is, these labels that you might have that are really acting as a barrier when somebody says, hey, do you want to come along to a Pilates class? And you're like, no, I'm not sporty. I'm no good at it, or something. And I did this for decades. I thought I hated tennis. And then in my mid-40s, for one reason or another, mainly Lyme disease and trying to get fitter, but I got onto a tennis court accidentally. And it was the happiest accident I've ever been in, because I found the love of my life. And what I thought after a few months of realizing, wow, I'm really addicted to this thing called tennis. What I thought was, what other things have I been telling myself that I don't like or that I hate, when actually I freaking love them? I just got to give it a go to find out. Anyway, what my point is, and the workshop ladies would tell me to tell you on their behalf, is keep it personal. Thou shalt not compare. Sport is never about being good. It's like art. And there's no such thing as good or bad at exercise. It's an oxymoron. So don't focus on achievement. There's nothing on the line. Nobody's being paid to do rec sport in midlife. You know, but everybody wants that health buzz from being active. So everyone's a winner, right? So do roll the dice. And this is probably the most important thing. If you have beliefs that are limiting your willingness to even give something a try, you know, try and become aware of them and then recognize the only way you are going to have fitness habits is if, you know, every now and again, you do something different. And just like a game in life, it's time to roll the dice and see where you land. Okay, obstacle number three. Exercise. It's raining. It's boring. The old man is snoring. When someone mentions exercise, does your brain automatically think, snooze alert? You know, have you found it difficult to comprehend why people even do sport? Like the whole subject is so uninteresting. And so you take an each to their own. They do that. I don't. Is that what is going on for you? Because you just think it's just boring and uninteresting. So what my coaching workshop ladies would suggest these three habits and habit hacks to that obstacle. They'd say, girls just want to have fun. Yes, it's Cyndi Lauper time. And it's time to think action and not exercise. Yeah, that's really important. But really what I got into after writing this blog was I started thinking about what I call having fun, in brackets, where fitness is. And so it's all about trying to find ways of doing something that involves moving your body. You're having fun, but it happens to be active. Okay, so music and dancing, so many women and ladies in my coaching community just love that. Music, getting off your tush, having a laugh, it's the way to go. But what about doing something a little different? You know, the generic forms of exercise, the gyms, the runnings, the cycling, swimming, all that stuff. It's all great, but maybe that just seems a bit boring and you want more of an adventure. So how about wild swimming? Or, you know, join a Facebook women's group that goes off in search of fun times outside. Photography and wildlife, who knows, who cares? Just find your own little adventure to double up on that positively impacting activity as well as your well-being. And then the third habit hack for, you know, sort of finding exercise boring is travel escapes, or just generally thinking about, oh, what do I enjoy? I like shopping. Okay, well, you know, Paris in the springtime, it is spring. It's time to wake up sleepy bear. That's the whole kind of little tagline I've got going on with Move Over Menopause. And Paris in the spring, why not? And if you go to Paris, you'll want to go shopping. And if you want to go shopping, you're going to do loads and loads of steps and activity. And yeah, exercise. So maybe for you, it could be visiting a museum, a city, a theme park, the shopping mall. Who cares? Just find some action and activity where you enjoy yourself. And that can be a really great habit hack. Obstacle number four to doing exercise for many women in midlife is not having a hand to hold. And this is a really tough one for me to talk about because it makes me think of all the people I helped, or the patients, I should say, one-to-one in a medical practice here in England. And I, you know, many people and many women find themselves without a partner in crime to bolster their confidence and to go along to a class or to do activity with. And this can create a real disconnection from exercise for many women. And there's many reasons why a woman might find themselves solo in this phase of life, from, you know, divorce, empty nesting, house relocation, or bereavement. And it can feel really tough and isolating. So first, I do want to extend my heart to anyone listening who is in one of those situations and struggling. But, you know, exercise and activity are one of the best. In fact, they're better than antidepressant in many research studies in the last 2 years, improving mental health and reducing anxiety, reducing stress. So I do really encourage you to consider this freely, widely, easily available and accessible thing to do for your health. You could look at different communities here in the UK. There's a community online called Her Spirit, if you search that up. And that's, I like them. It's kind of like a dating app, but it's not dating. It's to put women, it's a women's only, and it's to put women together to get active together, to help like an accountability partner for getting active. And I'm sure there will be, because I have 37 countries listening into the Health Habits Coach these days. I know we're getting popular. But I'm sure that there will be a local community for you to access similar to that. So do go and have a search on Google and figure that out. And what my coaching ladies would suggest and what we got talking about was getting into scouting, doing anonymous checkouts of like local, your community center, go and look at the notice board, look at who's going to the classes. How old are they? How fit are they? Do they look like your kind of crew? And do a little scouting before you try it out, because that could really help you feel more connected and more like, oh, this is where, yeah, these are the kind of people that look like my kind of people. Also like massive events, like, instead of going small, you could go for something big, like going to a run or die or park runs here in the UK. These kinds of groups of hundreds or even thousands of people gathering together doing activity. You're part of that big swathe, that crowd of people, but you're not actually, you're there, you've gone on your own. So that, for some people in my community, they said that is a nice way of doing that. So then if they just want to go home or bolt, they can. They haven't got a commitment, but they can feel like they're in amongst the people. And then obstacle number five is I'm in too much pain. And for lots of different reasons, sometimes lifestyle, sometimes clinical, women in their 40s, 50s and beyond may find themselves experiencing a long-term condition. And this can then act as a barrier to them participating in exercise and activities. And this is, you know, it can be a mixture, usually often, of a reality of a clinical underlying condition, but also the fear of what exercise could, that it could make the condition worse. Especially say chronic pain conditions, such as like your lower back chronic pain, very, very common condition for people at this age space to experience. But pain is a bit of a weird thing. It can be counterintuitive in terms of, you know, I'm actually recently working with an orthopedic doctor and exploring his pain program for people with lower back pain. And most of his program is about exercises for the back and doing exercises to build up the muscle. So yes, it can feel like, oh, it'll hurt, but if you do it correctly. And so obviously at this point, if you have any clinical condition, you need to listen to your doctor or your medical professional and follow their advice, follow their program, do what they suggest, but do recognize that you might have a mental part of it that you've got to trust them, that they do have, you know, your best interests at heart there, you know, and follow the program fully. And so really this can also lead us into that sense of that, you know, a lack of energy can be a chronic aspect in this phase of life. So it's a different kind of pain or chronic health condition. Symptom is chronic fatigue, which I know from when I had chronic Lyme disease. And chronic fatigue syndrome was probably one of the worst aspects of the symptoms I faced for several years. And I know how making plans becomes difficult and commitment even harder. And it can feel embarrassing, you know, to not show up, you know, because you don't feel like it, you don't feel up to it. And that we often stop, you know, we stop making plans and stop trying to create an arrangement to not have that stressful limbo of start, stop, depending on how you're feeling on the day. And so, you know, but the smaller that we reduce our circles, the less we become able. And so staying just at the boundary of our limitations is a healthy objective, is a brilliant health habit goal to have. So it's not about trying to raise your ceiling and become this fitter version. It's about trying to protect your floor and not allowing yourself to become less fit, less active, you know, less strong. And so that is a really, really important part. And I actually, earlier this week on the podcast is, you can find it on the Health Habits Coach podcast, is a podcast episode all with the autoimmune rehab founder, Anna Laura Brown, and do check that out if chronic fatigue or if autoimmune is in your health picture, because it's a really lovely episode where we give some really kind support to that space. Okay, so but my coaching workshop ladies would suggest, you know, some acceptance of where you're at and extra self-care and compassion. Avoid the boom bust cycles that go with, you know, having too many goals or rigid plans, rigid programs. You need to be able to tap into what works for you and become very personalized if this space is, you know, if this obstacle is resonating with you. And instead of committing, you know, to things outside of your reach, stay within your circle, but do maintain it. And one lady in my coaching group spoke about how she would say to herself, "I park it." She was suffering with a chronic autoimmune body system, autoimmune condition, and she was also trying to prevent type 2 diabetes and weight management. And she would say there'd just be some days and or some weeks where she would just park her desire, park her plan for that great health habit. But it is park, it is not leave. And she is going to go back to it. You are going to go back and restart and rejoin your journey once you feel like things are a little bit more settled and in balance again for your health. So release yourself from those timelines and deadlines and goals. Do go at your pace and take a rest stop from your fitness journey if you need to. So really that's the five obstacles, the five main obstacles that I have found that rear up and get in the way of a woman in midlife getting more active and creating better fitness for herself in her day to day. So, you know, really, yes, exercise isn't an unchallenging thing. It pushes us, it demands, but it also rewards like no other health habit in my view, especially for a woman in midlife. Those menopause symptoms, that weight management stress, our hormones, everything is massively improved and impacted for the better if we can, you know, sort of increase our fitness. So I do encourage you to examine your obstacles and then pick your habit hack and go after it and really try and get that going. So that's it for It's a Wrap. And until the next episode of the Health Habits Coach, I hope you've enjoyed this. It's a biggie, but I really think there was a lot of really lovely, supportive suggestions around how to become more fit, more active when you're a woman in midlife. Until the next episode, I hope you all stay really healthy.